Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord. Springtime is a season of change and transition. Trees and fields that were brown and barren are now bursting with life. Students graduating are preparing to take the next step in their lives, whether it be high school, college, or maybe a career. Parents watch as their child commit themselves to someone else in the sacrament of matrimony. And in the midst of this season of change, we celebrate Christ's ascension into heaven. For a moment, place yourselves in the minds of the apostles. They've experienced quite a wide range of emotions, from the shock of Jesus' betrayal and arrest, the fear and sadness seeing him condemned and crucified, and the joy of being reunited with him after the resurrection. We heard it said in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, they asked the Lord, "Are you now ready to reestablish Israel? Basically, take your place at the head of the people to be able to put out the Roman persecutors and invaders." They still had this idea of the Messiah was more of an earthly one. But instead of that, they experience Jesus leaving them again as he ascended up to heaven. He had to leave since he was first sent. Now, the theme of being sent is prevalent throughout the Gospels. Jesus says, in John's Gospel, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospels also mention that Jesus sent his disciples. Jesus sent out the 12, and later on in the Gospels it says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him." Salvation history took a big step forward when the Son of God is sent by the Father to become human. Jesus' time on this earth began with Mary saying yes to the angel. And at that moment, the divine Son of God is united to humanity, to a human being who 9 months later was born and named Jesus. There are two that said yes in this story. The Son of God first saying yes to the Father, to being sent, and Mary saying yes to God, being the recipient. Now, being sent meant that the important work of revelation begins. Jesus, after all, revealed God's love for the human family throughout his earthly ministry. But he especially revealed in giving up his life on the cross that rather than abandoning the human family, God intended to save us. Being sent was about selflessness. The Son totally emptied himself for us by uniting with humanity. Think of this for the moment. The one through whom all things were created agreed to become one of his creatures. But likewise, when Jesus sent his disciples, he wanted to make sure they understood it was only for the proclamation of the word. This was not about enriching yourself with either money or prestige. As he sent them, he told them, carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, the kingdom of God is at hand for you. And so Jesus' ascension, returning to the Father, was a transition, not a farewell. Christ ascended to God's right hand to lead his church. We know, and the Gospels tell us about many of these, that Jesus could do many miracles while on earth. But from heaven, he continues the greatest miracle, reconciling the human family to his heavenly Father. His church on earth is the most visible sign of this miracle. It has survived persecutions, scandals, and power struggles throughout its history, not because its earthly leaders were so holy, but rather because the head of the church is in heaven, directing it from his heavenly throne. But as we heard in both the account of the Ascension and the Acts of the Apostles, as well as in the one we heard from Mark's Gospel, part of his ascension was now Jesus sends the disciples to the whole world. And he says that signs will accompany their proclamation of the good news. What are those signs? Well, luckily for us, we don't have to handle snakes or drink toxic liquids to prove, but instead we see these signs. We see grace coming down and entering the hearts through our baptism. We experience Jesus' real presence when we come to celebrate the Eucharist. And through the grace that flows through these and the other sacraments of the church, true unity is formed in the body of Christ, the church. Jesus' ascension also reminds us of our ultimate destiny, dwelling with God in heaven. Through Jesus' resurrection, death was conquered. Through his ascension, Jesus took our human nature, glorified it, and brought it to reside in heaven. What was lost so long ago is now restored to us, the most beloved of God's creatures. From the moment of our baptism, we were sent to continue the mission of Jesus, the Son of God. But during this past year, that's been especially difficult. A past year filled with isolation, shutdown, and social distancing. So I urge those of you who have returned to the celebration of the Eucharist to reflect on the gift that it is to receive your Savior in Holy Communion, the gift that it is that you are worshiping together as a faith community, and also reflect on those that we miss who have not returned to regular worship. Maybe our sending at this time, it may consist of us sharing the joy that we feel at returning to the regular celebration of the Mass, where we encounter Jesus, who promised to be with us until the end of the ages. And perhaps in the sharing of the joy that you experience, it will bring the other members of Christ's body, the Church, to come and join us here. Our celebration of the wondrous gift of love, first expressed in the Easter miracle, continues with today's celebration of the Ascension. It's a celebration of Christ's presence to us, and we experience it most strongly when we gather together around his altar and consume him in Holy Communion. It is for this that he returned to the Father, not to say farewell, but for him to say, "Welcome to my Father's house. Stay here forever."